Hi there, it's Coco here. No matter what changes, there's resistance, isn't there? Yet for employers to remain competitive, change is inevitable. So if you are serious about your career, you need to be able to adapt quickly, not just as an individual, but as a leader and communicator. In this episode of Expert Speak English, I'll share practical tips on how to future-proof your skills, connect better with your team, and lead your organization through times of uncertainty. Listen in for 9 pitfalls to avoid with no fluff.
Welcome to the Experts Speak English podcast. Together, we'll discover how to talk yourself into an international career without the bullshit. And at the end of each episode, I give you an opportunity to try out what you have just learned on the show, because I give you Coco's Communication Challenge. And that gives you an opportunity to get out there and try out one of the tools, techniques, or tips that you will have heard on the show. I'm Corinne Wilhelm. I'm a corporate communication coach with over 20 years of experience of helping leaders to secure the career that they deserve through intentional communication, intercultural awareness, and the confidence to show up as the English speaking expert. So let's get cracking, shall we?
The challenges of getting everybody on board with a new structure, system, or market is magnified with the size of the organisation, and even more so by its regional scope or spread. With every culture and economy that's involved, complexity increases. And yet, communication is often horribly neglected or haphazardly delivered. Now is not the time to get people upset. So, because of the emotions involved, you really need to plan your communication intentionally, both internally and externally. This is something you need to dedicate time and headspace to, preferably as a small dynamic team, as in sensitive times, every word, gesture, and tone of voice can and will be misinterpreted. There is no room for ambiguity and lots of room for empathy. If you're the one communicating, then you need to remember that whatever it is that you already know and are about to communicate is completely new to them. You might have known about it a few hours, weeks, or months, but to them, they are hearing it for the first time. So give your audience, in whichever format, the time and space to process what you are saying, both during your announcement, put in some nice healthy pauses if you're on stage or screen, but also afterwards. Give your talent the opportunity to discuss, ask questions, and yes, to rant. So as Mark Sanborn once said, your success in life isn't based on your ability to simply change. It's based on your ability to change faster than your competition, customers, and business. I have 9 points to share with you to ensure a healthy change management. So, first of all, is a lack of effective communication. One of the most significant barriers is the disconnection between change leaders and those impacted by change. Very often, nothing is said at all, or very, very late. This is disrespectful and dangerous. If people don't know the facts, they start to speculate, gossip, and exaggerate. This is bad enough within the organisation, but disastrous if the journalists speak to the wrong people, for instance. Think also about your suppliers and clients. What do they need to know? Tell them what you can, as soon as you can. Internal communication is often viewed as secondary, but this is a dangerous assumption to make and one that can derail change really fast. Change communication needs to be clear, embracing, and relevant to the needs of those listening. In A.T. Kearney's Global Post-Merger Integration Survey, 58% of respondents attributed under-communication as the top problem that they encountered as a part of this merger change process. Not communicating enough with your staff. I'll put a link, of course, in the show notes for you. In my corporate life in London, I was at Pricewaterhouse when they merged with Coopers. I was managing a team of five early in my career, and I had absolutely nothing to tell them. They wanted and expected answers and suspected I knew more than I was letting on, which made me feel not only like a fool, but a betrayed fool. Everybody knew that a merger was imminent. You know, it was in the press. But at work, it was radio silence. The leaders locked themselves away from the staff as they worked out what to do next and what to say next, whilst people feared the worst. My team were all fairly young, and so they were worried about the implications that this would have on their career. Young fathers were worried about redundancies. I was worried about whether I would remain a manager, and I wondered who my Coopers counterparts were. We went into the weekend knowing nothing. The second point that I'd like to raise is insufficient change buy-in and solution support. So without there being buy-in from key stakeholders and a genuine support for the proposed solutions, resistance is likely to emerge. This is where your persuasion skills come in and your ability to put yourself in their shoes or see things from their perspective. It's not always easy to anticipate how everybody will be affected by the change. So if you observe any behaviour changes, then you need to invest in some two-way communication. That will help employees to make the strategic change without feeling alienated or forgotten about. That can be on the management team, on the board, or a supervisor who has literally just bought a house in the existing location, for instance. Never assume that everybody is affected in the same way. And please just don't think they should get over it. It might be a business decision for you, but for many of the people on your team, it will be an emotional decision as well. Number three, limited knowledge and resources for change management. So organisations often presume that they can take care of things themselves and underestimate the significance of being able to take advantage of change management expertise. It's expensive, I get it. A lack of knowledge and resources can lead to poorly planned and implemented change initiatives. The bottom line is that few organisations are constantly dealing with change, so the skills and techniques needed to navigate this wild storm are unlikely to be available. In which case, you need to find out if you have experienced in-house experts, possibly hiding in a part-time job after maternity leave, for example, or hire an agency or change consultant to support you. Trying to wing this could have a dramatic and abrupt impact on your career and the success of the organisation. Number four is having a change-resistant culture and attitude. Now, some organisational cultures, particularly conventional ones, resist change due to fear, inertia, or a simple preference for the status quo. The longer an organisation resists change, the more challenging the change will be. Dynamic, innovative, and agile organisations are far better equipped in terms of mindset to deal with change than workforces that seek predictability. It's not without reason that the military in most countries require frequent relocations. That keeps you on your toes as a soldier and their families too. Children of those families tend to be a lot more resilient than those that have never had to adapt. In traditional industries, a sudden change will be a lot more difficult to deal with than a well-planned out, slower change. With frequent, complete, honest communication during the whole process of change management. Identify change agents or advocates in as many departments as possible because communication is more trustworthy coming from those that you are working with on a regular basis. Know, like, trust, remember? Did you know that there is a way to boost your conversational business English without going to lessons? Haha. If you enjoy listening to these shows but would feel really uncomfortable having one of those one-to-one conversations with English team members who are assistant to change, then my Business Fluency Booster could be perfect for you. You just do the task, mostly speaking tasks, in your WhatsApp and I give you personal feedback. The great thing is you can do this when and where you want to. This isn't a standard program. It's custom designed for you, your job, your company, your industry. You're working directly with me, your quirky British communication coach, and it's a flexible, friendly, and fun solution. I pick you up exactly where you are and get you to exactly where you want to be in your career. It costs €69 per month, and I only have 27 places left. I need to restrict the amount of people on the program because I need to have enough time to create pronunciation videos, visuals, and polls, etc., to really make this a really unique learning experience. My VIP clients get free access, by the way. Back to the show. So number four is a poor communication strategy execution. Even with a well-defined strategy, execution matters. The delivery of your messages and the implementation of processes and procedures to facilitate that change will make a huge difference in terms of staff being able to understand and process what is needed. Often the person making the announcement is the most important person in the organisation, but the best choice of coordinator is one that has the energy, passion and leadership skills to really engage with the ones on the ground making it happen. That takes guts, right? But when it comes to change implementation, communication is absolutely critical. Not just at the time of the big announcement, but all the way through. It's not enough simply to announce the change. To address resistance to change, you need to communicate regularly throughout the whole change process. At the end of the process, a celebration as a symbol of gratitude is something that most organisations neglect as the new normal takes over. Did you know that there is a way to boost your conversational business English without going to lessons? Haha. If you enjoy listening to these shows but would feel really uncomfortable having one of those one-to-one conversations with English team members who are resistant to change, then my Business Fluency Booster could be perfect for you. You just do the task, mostly speaking tasks, in your WhatsApp and I give you personal feedback. The great thing is you can do this when and where you want to. This isn't a standard program. It's custom designed for you, your job, your company, your industry. You're working directly with me, your quirky British communication coach, and it's a flexible, friendly, and fun solution. I pick you up exactly where you are and get you to exactly where you want to be in your career. It costs €69 per month, and I only have 27 places left. I need to restrict the amount of people on the program because I need to have enough time to create pronunciation videos, visuals and polls, etc., to really make this a really unique learning experience. My VIP clients get free access, by the way. Back to the show. Number six, managing multiple projects simultaneously. Juggling several change initiatives at the same time is likely to overwhelm employees and dilute focus. It's better to roll out the change process over a longer time frame if it is to be successful and accepted. Overwhelming your workforce amid such a transition will force many of them to seek calmer working environments elsewhere or dig their feet in. That's even worse. So be pragmatic about what is achievable. It's better to aim for, I don't know, three solid vital metrics than 21 of them. Give them the time and headspace to focus on a few key changes at a time. Preventing burnout is critical here, as you will need to keep your most talented staff and your most experienced staff might not have the stamina or inclination to tolerate chaos and confusion on top of unrealistic goals and milestones. The change management team needs to have systems in place to check in on how well and how quickly the change is happening and inquire about whether they need anything. The successful implementation of a change cannot deny emotions or exceptions. It's good to be a little bit flexible here, and the less juggling there is, the faster you will make progress. Number seven, identifying the keystone change. focusing on the most important, impactful change is essential. Sometimes organisations spread their efforts too thin across various initiatives, leading to inevitably suboptimal results. Prioritising what to work on first is always a challenge for every change management initiative, but the importance of change makes it necessary to take it step by step with enough opportunities to evaluate the effectiveness of the change periodically. If you are changing too much at once, it will be difficult to evaluate which changes are having the biggest impact. The important thing is to make sure that all of the documentation, including performance metrics, is centrally available and transparent.
Number 8.
Lack of management buy-in. You've heard it a million times, I know, but leadership commitment is vital. Not just lip service, but genuine support. Engage in an open and honest conversation to discover what their concerns are and work together to find a solution that makes the change more appealing and logical for them. It can feel necessary, where there is resistance, to take a tough stance, but that normally just exaggerates the problem and slows down the change process even more. So organisational change initiatives will make people suspicious and worried about whether they are going to lose their job, get access to training or resources. And these are all valid concerns, and senior staff are well within their rights to be cautious too. After all, we all know that ageism affects your chances of getting a new job following redundancies. What you must not do, ever, is lie, just to get them on board. Do not make promises you cannot keep. So finally, on our list of 9 things, we have engagement. Involving employees at all levels throughout the change process fosters ownership and commitment. It's tempting to focus on the management level and the white-collar workers, but everybody deserves to know what is going on and how it will affect them. Yes, there will be finger-pointing, swearing and raised voices. Yes, there will be a fair deal of disgruntlement and disappointment. And yes, there will be fear and sarcasm. But being available and accessible to everyone during the whole change management process is important. And yes, it's time-consuming. It will drain you emotionally and it will often feel like a really uphill struggle. But every conversation contributes to a smoother change transition, even if you cannot see it right at that moment. So it's this proximity to those that will make the change happen that will make the difference between a change that is sluggish and slow or a change that is exciting and dynamic. So as Eisenhower once said, you don't lead by hitting people over the head. That's assault, not leadership. So treat change with the respect that it deserves. Treat your staff with the respect that they deserve and plan your communication carefully if you want to be proud of a reputation that you deserve. A change management communication plan should never be an afterthought, but an integral part of the effective change management, using only the communication tools you need to authentically communicate change. But remember, we all like to communicate in different ways.
So be intentional about your communication and think about your audience first. What do they need to know from you right now? And what will they need to know at each stage of this change process? Your change management communication plan needs to be very specific and deliberate with an attention to detail. In addition to knowing who will be saying what and when, you need to think about which format will be the most effective. We all know that email is often the fastest and simplest way, right? But is it the way that will pick people up emotionally? The reality is that you will need a mix of communication formats so that you can deliver the right information at the right time in the right way. This is not the time to hide behind your keyboard and hope that the change will pan out in time, but to show up as a leader with the perfect blend of authentic, honest conversations and positive, upbeat information. And only with the right level of emotional intelligence will you know what is needed at each stage of the change process. Keep to the script, but embrace questions and concerns too. It's a balancing act, but you've got this. You have to think about it as a bit of a, you know, like a piggy bank or a savings account. Everything you do now to help make this change easier and smoother will build up trust points, so you will become a more respected and admired leader over time. So even though you might not feel like that person right now in the middle of a change, it will certainly pay off over time. So consistency and persistence are the name of the game here. And last but not least, pay attention to your mental health. You will need a lot of resilience because you are taking a lot of flack from a lot of people. And so to be able to manage that, you need to be on top of your game, getting the sleep, getting the exercise, eating healthily. Yes, even when you're working long hours, you've got to make this happen. Because you need to be a mainstay of support. You need to be there for your staff, so you need to protect yourself as well, for the sake of yourself and your family. So let's summarise then. These are the 9 points that are going to hold you back from executing a really successful, effective change management process. First of all, a lack of effective communication. Secondly, insufficient change buy-in and solution support. Thirdly, limited knowledge and resources for change management organisations. Fourthly, change resistance culture and attitude. Fifth is poor communication strategy execution. Sixth was managing multiple projects simultaneously, or too many at one time. Number 7 was identifying the keystone change. And number 8 was a lack of management buy-in. Finally, there was number 9 was engagement. And my little extra tip was your mental health. Keep an eye on that for me. Which brings us to Coco's communication challenge. So there are 2 options. If you are in the middle of a big change, I would like you to look at the 9 points that I've shared with you today and see where you are lacking, where there's not enough effort being put into that one thing. If you are not yet in a change situation and you're just listening to this to be aware and, you know, equipped with all of the skills that you need should you have to go into a change, which is inevitable, then I would like you to think about this in a different way. I want you to dedicate some time to think about your resilience routine. So being resilient is something that's cumulative. You need to build up over a longer period of time. So I want you to think about the last time that you were really stressed. What were the things that you neglected? Was it sleep? Was it eating rubbish? Was it drinking too much? Was it smoking too much? Was it just working too much? Think about those things and work out what you need to put in front of that to make it happen. So for example, when I'm really busy, I tend to eat all of the wrong things, right? And so I can combat that by buying super healthy stuff at the beginning of every week and making it an absolute priority. Because if I've got really good stuff in the fridge, I'm more tempted to have a yummy salad. So have a think about your own resilience. What can you do to build solid routines now so that if a change situation comes up, or when a change situation comes up, you are in the best possible situation in terms of mental health to be able to combat that in the best way possible? So that's it for today. You've got 9 juicy points to avoid doing in any change situation. We've talked a little bit about mental health. I've given you a nice communication challenge to do, whether you're in a change situation or not yet. And all that remains for me to say is to have a fantastic week and be the very best communicator that you can be. You've been listening to the Experts Speak English podcast, brought to you from Corin Wilhelm from English Speaking Experts.